I want to speak to you this morning. Breakthrough will only come from brokenness. Breakthrough will only come from brokenness. One of the things I try to do as a pastor is encourage folks to get on board, get involved, and take ownership. Not only your own walk with God, but what goes on here at Church of Pentecost. You know, sometimes there's some of you right on that verge. You want to take that step, but you're afraid. Well, let me tell you right now, okay? Anything you do for God, you're going to have to. If you want to go to the next level, you're going to have to be broken. Come on. And it's a lot of us are afraid of that. But let me tell you something. It's kind of like my son, Nate. If he was here, I thought he'd be here in a minute, but my wife used to tell him, you need to read this book. I don't want to read that book. I'm telling you, Nate, you need to read the book. I don't want to read it. He loved to read, but he just didn't want to read. That's something she told him he had to read. She said, just read the first chapter. Then you wouldn't see him for a while because he'd be reading that book. Then he'd say, oh, thanks, Mom. That was a pretty good book. I kid you, if it happened once, it happened 1,000 times. Always. And folks, I'm telling you, get involved. Let the people around you, your family members, your co-workers, your neighbors, let them see how important living for God and going to Church of Pentecost is. Be faithful. Get involved. You will never regret it. You'll come to me, just like my son Nate went to my wife. Thank you, Pastor. I was afraid. I don't want to, you know, I had so much stuff to do. I'm telling you, Matthew 6:33, everybody, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You believe the word of God? I dare you. I triple dog dare you. That's supposed to be from around here somewhere, right? Try it. Amen. Get involved. We're out here working yesterday. Working hard, but having a ball. How many guys were out here yesterday? Any of you? Come on. Many of you left before that lousy rain hit real hard last night. You should have seen Pastor in the car with my hoodie and everything hanging over the mirror trying to get warm, dried back. I look like a laundry mat. Amen. But we had a great time. We worked hard. Amen. Living for God is awesome. And that's why I tell my wife, I'm such a blessed man to have such an awesome family, an awesome church family. Amen. Amen. See, my brothers out there yesterday and the day before working hard, they didn't have to be here. I thanked my brother last night as he was leaving. I said, thank you so much. He goes, I was looking forward to that. Neighbor, I had a neighbor lady come around. I don't know exactly how she lives in, but she told me, she said, he's a saint. And she heard him out, that tractor fired up at 8:30. And we left here at 8:30 last night. And he sat in that thing when we wasn't working on it. He sat in that thing and operated that thing and oil spraying all over him. He's out there with wind, grease, degreaser spraying the window down so we get to see the wipers going. Degreaser. We had a hose leak. In your Bible, Psalms 34. Then we're going to go to Psalms 57. Or 51, I'm sorry. Psalms 51. Psalms 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit. Psalms 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Lord, we love you. I thank you for your blessings, your goodness, and your mercy. Bless each one, I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I know God has been moving in the lives of folks in this church. Amen? God's been doing some things, and you may still be going through whatever struggle it is, but let me tell you, but when you get through there, you're going to say, thank the Lord for your blessings, God, your goodness. And I know he's been moving, and that is what we like to call revival. Amen? And I know we usually think of shouting hallelujah and marching for victory and all those kind of things, but there's sometimes when we go through rough things, folks, it's still revival. Amen? Right in the middle, there's an established principle. And I feel that we must find ourselves in front of this principle. In the middle of this breakthrough, God has given this message. But I feel that herein lies the very thing that we need to take our church to the next level. So you ask the question, what does it mean that God will not despise a broken spirit and a contrite heart? Well, Psalms 51 was written, folks, by David after David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he had her husband killed also to cover his sin. You read of that in 2 Samuel 11. It has been said of David that he sinned big, but he repented even bigger. You see, some of us, sometimes we get so frustrated with ourselves when we mess up. If you're going to mess up big, repent even bigger. Come on. I love to read of David. David, when you read of David, when I read it, it reminds me of myself a lot. But folks, he was a man that loved God. He sought after the things of God. And God took note of that. And that's why I encourage you to get involved. Don't just make this a Sunday morning or Sunday night or once or twice a week living for going to church, and that's your extent of living for God. Get involved. Amen. When God saw David, he was seeking after the things of God. He said, there's a man after my own heart. In other words, David is seeking after my heart. When you read of David, he sinned big, but he repented bigger. He is a model to us of what real heart repentance looks like. Folks, it's more than just coming up here to the altar and saying, God, forgive me. David wrote this psalm as an agonizing cry to God for forgiveness. In Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. The meaning of this is connected with the verses just before it. When you read in Psalms 51:16, it says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. You see, David is stating that there is nothing we can offer God to appease him when we've sinned. More animal sacrifices were not, it was not what God was looking for. God desires true repentance. Now, many people miss this truth. Rather than repent, they try to clean up their act. They try to give a little more. They try to pray a little more, or they try to busy themselves in other religious activities only in hopes that God will finally get over being mad at them. Come on. Psalms 51, David is saying that God wants none of that. External religious activity cannot replace internal, heartfelt contrition. Psalms 51:17 points out that the one thing God desires more than any other brokenness or our own sin. God desires more than any other. He desires brokenness over our sin. He wants to see you are truly sorry for sinning against God. And sometimes we're just so, we weep a little bit, I'm sorry, and then we go off and we try to, do these other activities to help God get over us. How's that, God? Is that making you feel a little better? God wants to see. He wants to see you're truly, truly sorry. Come on. When we agree with God about how bad our sin is, we take the first step toward reconciliation with God. And as long as we try to justify or we try to excuse or we try to rationalize the evil of our own hearts, we never find our way back into God's presence. You see, repentance, folks, is the doorway to freedom. Satan knows this. And Satan does everything he can to distract us from it. He suggests things that our selfish nature likes to hear. Things like, well, your sin wasn't that bad. Well, compared to others, you're pretty okay. Well, I'm sure God has forgotten about that already. There's no need for you to confess. That's the thing Satan tries to distract us with. And when we listen to the devil's oily words, folks, we veer away from that doorway to freedom, and we remain in bondage. That's where he wants us to be. He wants us to remain in bondage. And therefore, we get this pride that wells up in us, and we don't really want to repent. That repentance, again, as I said, is the doorway to your freedom. Come on. And the devil wants you to, you know, God will forget about it. And you know, it wasn't as bad as this person. And it's not, he's a liar. He wants you to be stuck in that bondage of that I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. Now, we may feel remorse, we may feel regret, but neither is it sufficient substitute for true repentance. Hebrews 12, verse 17 says, "For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." David reminds us that only path to forgiveness is a broken heart and a contrite or a humble spirit. And when we throw ourselves on the mercy of God, God delights to lift us up. Amen. Luke 18, 13 through 14 says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." God wants us to be sorry, truly repentant for our sins. Don't let the devil lie to you and cheat you out of the freedom that comes from asking God, "Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me." We must learn to repent, folks. Let me tell you something. Each and every one of us here today, we need to thank God for repentance. Every day, we need to thank God. "Lord, I thank you for the repentance that you've given to us." See, when we openly acknowledge our sin against God, and when we turn from it, and we cry out for a cleansing, folks, God promises that he will hear us. God promises not only will he hear us, he will forgive us. 1 John 1, 9 says, here's that big word, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you want faith, you want God to be faithful to forgive you, if you want him to be just and fair in what happens to us, we have to confess. Now, is it interesting to note that although David sinned against Bathsheba, Although David sinned against her husband, David makes this statement to God. Folks, listen to this in Psalms 51:4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. David gets to the heart of why God hates sin so much. You see, it is a violation of God's very nature. Sin is a violation against his very nature. See, we are created in that image. Amen? But our sin mars that. It's like a smudge on us. Or like a smudge on a mirror. You ever try to use a mirror? I need something to wipe this off. Why? You want to see it clearly. God made us in his image. It's against his nature for sin. We're made in that image. God wants to see us without that. A broken spirit, a contrite heart. You know what that does? It invites God to clean that smudge and to restore us to right relationship with him. That's what that does. When we are broken, when we are contrite, and God sees that we're truly, truly sorry, he says, here, let me take care of that. Brokenness can bring us to a new dimension in God through which no other door may lead. Think about that. Do you want to go to another dimension in God? Amen. There are places that God wants to bring us to. But the price of admission, folks, is brokenness. Where do you want to go in God? God says, look, I want to take you here. I would love to have you here. But I need to change a few things. And the only way is to be broken. So God could put us back together the way we need to be. So these places that God wants to bring us to, are you willing to pay the admission? See, we can't get to those places through faith. We need faith, but we can't get there just through faith alone. You can't get there through victory or through praise. Just brokenness. Brokenness. And although, folks, not a bone of the Lord was broken on the cross, when he was crucified, when he bore our sins in his body, but the Bible describes it this way, as his body being broken. In 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus was broken, but through his brokenness, salvation was able to be for me and for you because of his brokenness. So because he was broken, we are able to obtain salvation. Now, there's places, folks, maybe there's people that you've been praying for years. And maybe that salvation for them will only come through your brokenness. But see, we're so often afraid to go to that point. I asked you today, are you willing to see salvation in people's lives around you? Are you willing to be broken? We need it, folks. We need to be to that place. It's one thing, you know, just to, hey, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so. God's like, what are you willing to do for it? So he was broken. Through that we have salvation. But salvation cannot be known without repentance. And a place of brokenness is necessary for repentance. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. You see, we must be broke before we can be fixed. Come on. Maybe we could turn the saying around that says, it ain't broke, break it. Huh? You know the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't worry about it, don't fix it. Well, here God says, it ain't broke, let's break it. In each of our lives, God had designed a process of growth, a process of development. Brokenness symbolizes humility before God. It symbolizes total surrender to his work, to his will. Oh, there's the key. That's why we don't want to be broken. Come on. But Pastor, if I get broken, then I'll have to be totally surrendered to his work. I'll have to be totally surrendered to his will. That sounds like, to me, there's not complete faith in God. Well, I don't want to go that way. I'm not familiar with that territory. It's because you don't totally trust in your God. Now, we like to fool ourselves into thinking we totally trust in God. But to get to that place of brokenness, it symbolizes humility. And it is a total surrender to his work, to his will. You know, we're those Americans who ain't nobody telling me what to do. Huh? Well, as my pastor used to always say, you'll do it God's way or you'll do it God's way. Come on. Right? Because God has a way of taking us to the places that he wants us to go. So if we surrender to his work and to his will, after all, God, folks, God cannot resist brokenness. He cannot. He is attracted to it. Brokenness has something that draws him to us. And when the broken and the repentant heart is confessing that, confessing their sins before him and is turning from the wrong, God begins to pay attention. He cannot resist humility. He cannot resist brokenness. And James 4, 6 through 10 says, but he giveth more grace to what? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Uh-oh, there's that submit word. Off. Come on, get your key out. Open it back up. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. You mean I have to submit to God before I can resist the devil? And he will flee, the devil. If we resist, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. See, God puts it on us first, doesn't he? You draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. You submit to me, I'll give you more grace. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, yeah, I want to live for God. No, I don't want all that work. But I do. Yeah, but there's a lot of commitment. You double-minded? Huh? Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let God lift you up. Don't lift yourself up. That's what too many of us are wanting to do. We're wanting to lift our, well, I want to do things that, I don't want all this submitted stuff, and I don't want all this humbling stuff, and I don't want all this weeping stuff. And if you do that, God will lift you up. Come on. I'd rather be lifted up by him than what I can do, because it's all going to fall. Amen? See, this scripture here in James is totally opposite of our thinking. Get down to be lifted up. That's not making sense, Pastor. See, I want to go higher. I want to go higher and higher, not lower. And yet God is telling someone here right now, will you trust me? Will you trust me? He's telling someone to stop trying to lean on their own understanding today. God is reaching for someone right now. He wants us to let go of our desires, and he wants us to trust him for our provision. Folks, God is willing to do great things through us if we'll do what he asks us to do. And all he is waiting for is for us to get ourselves out of the way. That's all he's waiting for. Now, there is a clear pattern in the Bible that teaches us that brokenness brings breakthrough. Before Adam became the father of many nations, he and Sarah were childless. Before Jacob could be blessed, he was wounded by an angel in a wrestling match. Before Joseph ruled Egypt, he was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and falsely imprisoned. Before Job, before his estate was doubled, he lost everything he had, including his family, his fortune, and his future. Before Moses became the great deliverer, he lost his position, his possessions, and his popularity. Before Joshua conquered the promised land, he went through the wilderness. Before Samson crushed the Philistines, he was blinded, bound, and grinding. Before David became king, he was renounced by his family, ridiculed by his foes, and rejected by his friends. Before Daniel could be used mightily, he had to spend the night in the lion's den. Before Hosea became a powerful spokesman for God, his wife betrayed him, which broke him. Before Peter preached to 3,000 souls in the kingdom of God, he denied his Savior 3 times and went out and wept bitterly. Before Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles, he was blinded on the road to Damascus. And folks, I feel that this is the principle that is working in us right now. But sometimes, folks, God has to break us, just so he can remake us into what he wants us to be. Jeremiah 18:4, it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You know what that kind of speaks of? Well, this is just how I am. Didn't God make everybody? Yeah, he said, it was marred in the hand of the potter. But he says, let me break it again. Let me remake it. Do you trust me? I feel the presence of God in this place right now. God is here to touch some people today. Do you trust him, folks? Will you let him remake you? Psalms 51:8 says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. The songwriter expressed this popular attitude that we should have during the times when we are broken. It says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Now you may have sang that song before, but maybe you never looked at it in this light. And I just wonder, could you sing that song with this in mind? God, I need to be broken because I want to be what you want me to be. God, I want you right now, God, to deal with my heart and make me in a way, God, that I can be used of you. That I can allow myself to be open to your work and to your will. The potter, folks, hear me today. He is able to mend the broken vessel and to use it for his own purpose and his own pleasure. But if we never find a place of brokenness, if we never find a place of submission to his will in our lives, folks, we will never know the breakthrough. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a breakthrough. I'm ready, folks. I want the breakthrough in my life. I want the breakthrough in Church of Pentecost. I want to see God bless in a mighty, mighty way. Now, I have felt in my spirit for us to know brokenness again, folks. Hallelujah. And I hope this doesn't sound like I'm being critical, but it has been a long time, a long while since many of us have been broken before the Lord. Come on. It's been a long time. And if you are not broken and you cannot be made into the image that he has designed for you, folks, it is more than a good cry every now and then. Hear me? Brokenness is more than a good cry every now and then. It has to be something that we strive for as often as we can have it in our lives. And what I say now with all humility before the Lord, I'm not up here trying to impress anyone to get a bunch of frenzied amens. Hear me. I need to say a few things right here. From your pastor's heart. Brokenness will put down gossip. Brokenness will cause us to put agendas aside. Our own agendas. Brokenness will let us focus on Jesus. Brokenness will put down petty quabbling and upsetness. It's petty, folks. It ain't worth it. Brokenness will cause the young and the old to embrace one another. Brokenness will cause the established to make room for the new. Brokenness takes us beyond mere tolerance into acceptance of one another. Brokenness will cause us to welcome unique friends, unique talents, unique gifts and ministries that our God has granted for each of us. Brokenness brings John the Baptist's prayer to light in each of us. He says, he must increase, I must decrease. Brokenness will bring us to a new sense of humility. And brokenness brings breakthrough. And folks, and when the saints of God get that breakthrough, then God is glorified. He is lifted up and he draws men unto himself. The word of God tells us that, folks. I don't know about you, but I believe we need to trust and believe the word of God. Amen. And we need to say, it's my fault that so-and-so is not saved. It's my fault that my neighbors are not saved. It's my fault that my coworkers, because I'm not allowing God to break me. Come on, we need to be honest with ourselves. He said, it's been a long time, as Pastor has said. God, when the saints of God get that breakthrough, then God is lifted up and God draws men and unity begins to prevail. chains of bondage fall off during services. And people can come into a worship unfettered because the chains have dropped off. Because we have been broken and made into what God wants us to be. A new normal will begin to prevail in all aspects of ministry, folks. It won't matter who is preaching. It won't matter who is singing or leading or who doesn't get used to that night or causes glory to go away, folks. It won't matter because you're in the presence of God and you are what He wants you to be because you've allowed Him to break you. I'm going to keep preaching about revival and the outpouring of souls. And I feel that God is ready to do greater works in us than we have ever seen. He's ready. And I don't feel like that just because I'm pastor. I feel that because it's time for us, for these things to come to pass in our lives. Different preachers have preached here and told us that God is ready to give us revival. But folks, before God will send them, He wants us to spend time in labor, giving birth. Are you willing to spend time in labor, giving birth? We have to travail. If we want to see, you want to see your family members saved, you want to see your neighbors, your coworkers saved, are you willing to spend time in labor? Are we? If we're not willing to spend time in labor, then whose fault is it? Well, I asked God to touch. Yeah, you ever hear anybody say, God save the whole world? Have you heard anybody do that? Huh? Folks, it don't happen. It doesn't happen that way. You know, if it is going to happen, it's going to happen because of you. God has always used man. He spent His time on this earth. Now we are the body of Christ. Hear me. We are the body. He wasn't lazy when He was on this earth, folks. He was always about His Father's business. The Bible tells us that. He was always, you know, the Word tells us if they listed everything He'd done, we wouldn't be able to read it all. Well, what are we doing? Where are we at? Are we giving that, are we having that labor time? Are we willing to teach a Bible study? Are we willing to bring people in our home and fellowship with them? Well, I don't want to bring them people in my house. I'll bring them to church, but I don't bring them in the house. Shame on you. There is no spiritual C-sections. There's no divine epidurals. Come on. Just the broken travailing of a church who has fallen on their faces before God and who has pleaded to God for revival. You see, if this revival is going to be birthed, folks, in us, then we'll be the ones to go through the labor. We'll be the ones to go through the delivery. Folks, I'm telling you, folks, it's not all about what you want in life. See, many of you here probably think I'm crazy for moving out of the country to come up here and pastor a church in this city. But it's not all about what I want. I'm glad for every one of you. When I came here in 1989, none of you were here. Come on. But it's not about what we want. Is it? Is that where you're at today? It's about what you want instead of what God wants? Just the broken travailing of a church who's fallen on their faces before God and pleads with God, God, give us revival. If this revival is going to be birthed in us, then we will be the ones to go through the labor and the delivery. We will be the ones that are inviting people in. We will be the ones teaching and helping them grow in Jesus Christ. We will be the ones to listen to their suggestions and help them pray through. We will be the ones charged with raising them from the milk to the meat. Then it only makes sense, folks, that we are also responsible for their birth into the world. I believe God is giving us the key to breakthrough in our lives and in our church. And that breakthrough is going to be through our brokenness. You see, brokenness is what we allow God to make of us. Broken, God, not my will, but thine be done. Folks, when he was praying that in the garden, this flesh didn't want to go to that cross. He knew what was ahead. He'd seen crucifixions before. Everybody in that day were aware of that. And this flesh was saying, God, not my will, but thine be done. And you know how it came to the fact that he was going there? The Bible says he was sweating as great drops of blood. Folks, he was going through some turmoil. And all God is asking us to do is, hey, let me take your life. Let me use you to reach this person. Let me use you to birth this person. Let me use you to help them. Well, God, they stink. They smell. They do this. They drive me crazy. Let me use you. Is it your will or is it my will? I didn't want to go to the cross, but I went because I love you. And God can say here today, I look at where I brought some of you from. Brokenness is what allows God to make us. There is no comparison to be made between the value of a diamond or the grain of corn. Yet it all depends on the disposition that you make of the corn. Put both of them away, and at the end of hundreds of years, folks, the grain of corn will still have no money value. But that diamond's value, running up into the hundreds of dollars, will be undiminished. And at the end of thousands of years, the same thing will be true. But suppose instead we bury that grain of corn in that warm, moist earth. And year after year, through the centuries, let it go on producing and reproducing. In that time, it will have produced a store that the whole earth could hardly contain. Its production represents a money value that makes the diamond's price not more than an atom in comparison. To have saved the grain of corn would have been to lose all it was capable of producing. John 12:24 says, verily, verily, remember what I say about verily, verily? It's a Jew's way of saying this is important. If you hear verily, it's important. If you hear verily, verily, it's very important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. To save your gift from God may seem to be a prudent thing, but in the end, folks, it will mean complete loss. And to experience a great harvest, we need to die to self. Brokenness provides many of the needed elements for a great breakthrough. In brokenness, we find the pliability of the heart. No crop can grow in hard, untilled ground. Right? In brokenness, we find sufficient tears to water the sown seed. in brokenness, we find the crop beginning to show signs of life. You see, brokenness will bring breakthrough. And God has called us into realms of greatness. But before we can come into this place, we need to fall broken before His presence. You see, when a woman with alabaster box came before Jesus, she was broken. Luke records that she was weeping. She poured out something precious, pure, and valuable. She came in brokenness to break open the most valuable thing she had just to give it to Him. Something valuable, folks, hear me today. If you don't get anything today, something valuable is within you. We must love Him enough to break open our lives, become a sweet aroma to Him. You see, this woman's act in brokenness was so incredible that it was recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. And for all time, folks, we will use this story as an example of how to break through into the presence of Jesus Christ. Bring yourself to Him today. Bring yourself in brokenness, folks, and repent before the Lord. Just like Adam and Jacob and Joseph and Job and Moses and Joshua and Samson and David and Hosea and Peter and Paul. Stand. Just like all these men, God will deliver a mighty breakthrough in your life. I'm asking today, is there anybody here that wants a breakthrough? Is there anybody here willing to throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and break open that precious gift inside of you? And say, here, God, here it is. God, forgive me for being selfish. Come on, this altar's open. God, forgive me. Lord God, Lord, there's so much that You want to do through me. Help me, God, to be broken. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus.